book of John, please. The Gospel of John. We're going to be picking up in a few moments in verses 43 through 51. Verses 43 through 51. As a lead-in, remind you, last week we covered the call of some of the disciples. We're going to pick up with that theme here in just a little bit. John opens up his gospel, and he seems to be dealing with an issue. John's gospel deals mainly with the fact that Jesus is divine. He is the Son of God. And there was a teaching going on around that time that was contrary to that to some degree, that only Jesus was the Son of God when, right after he was baptized, the Spirit came upon him, and then just prior to him releasing his last breath, just prior to that, where he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." They feel like that was the only time that God was dwelling within Jesus, so to speak. So the rest of the time, he was just a man. Obviously, we disagree with that. So John starts off his gospel. You can see in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Right? That's what it says right there in the beginning. "And he was with God in the beginning." And he continues on through those first 18 verses, letting us know exactly who Jesus is. He closes out there in verse 18 by saying, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, was at the Father's side, has made him known." So there's no question that Jesus is divine. He's deity, part of the triune nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No question about it. So John introduces that. Then he moves into the next part, verses 19 to roughly 34 or so, and he's deals with John the Baptist. And he points out that John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus, to prepare the way for the Messiah. And real quick, he's gone from who Jesus is, that John's main purpose was to prepare the way. He's not the Messiah, he explains in that passage. He says, "I came to prepare the way of one that I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes, his sandals." So he continues on with that thought, and John begins to baptize. And also, in verses 29 or so, he says, one place, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Not only did he tell you he came to prepare the way, he points out that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. He's the one that everything's been pointing to. The one who will cover the sins of man by his death, his blood. So that's what John does here right in the beginning. And then he moves quickly into verses 35 to 42 with the calling of the first disciples. Now he mentions Peter and Andrew here. We know from last week, looking at the first chapter of Mark, that there was two others also called, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So we've had four called to this point, and they've been called to be followers of Christ. They've been called to come and step out and walk with Christ and learn from Christ and become disciples of Christ. One of the problems with many Christians is they're not truly practicing being a disciple. They like being saved. They like the idea that heaven is waiting, but they don't understand discipleship. A disciple's one, like right now. Are you listening? Are you reading? Are you understanding God's Word? Are you taking it in? Are you growing in the faith? Because a disciple would be sitting there listening to the Word of God and wanting to say, how can it affect my life? How can it change me for the better for Jesus Christ? That's what a true disciple is going to do. So we need to make sure we're practicing being true disciples. Peter and Andrew, James and John said, "Hey, I'm giving up everything. We're coming with you." And for 3 years, they're taught. Now, they were like anybody else. They had their moments. They had their moments where they failed. But overall, they stepped up to the plate and they made sure they were in the game. So they are marching forward, being disciples. Now, what we come to here in our text for today, which is verses 43 through 51, we have the calling of more disciples. It says here, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth, Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you? I saw you under the tree, or under the fig tree? Greater things than that. He then added, Tell you the truth, you shall see heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So the two disciples here are getting called, and he identifies them as Philip and Nathanael. Philip, you notice, he immediately says to him, Follow me. Now, Philip is from a fishing village called Bethsaida. There's no question right off the bat. He just gets up and says, I'm going to follow you. Now, there seems to be somewhere along the line, right after he's called him, Philip is going to go off and get Nathanael and point out who Jesus is to him. But right now, he's made a decisive commitment. Again, self, Ron, have you made a decisive commitment to actually walk in the steps of Jesus? It's one thing to say to everybody else, I'm a Christian. It's another thing that people think you're a Christian. But can Jesus actually see, as he looks back almost every step of the way, am I deciding to put my footprints where his footprints are? Am I walking with Jesus? Or am I playing this game called Christianity? Anybody here played it? Anybody here been not as serious about it as you should? Most Christians regret that they haven't done something for Jesus along the way. Hopefully, now remember, we don't have to be perfect to go to heaven. Jesus Christ makes us perfect. His blood covers us. It's his blood that gets us into heaven. We have no other path than that. We got to make sure we're walking each step, though, listening to what he says, applying it to our lives. The world right now could care less what Jesus teaches. And a number of the mainline denominations have thrown the teachings of Jesus out because they want to be cultural Christians. They want to please the culture. Whatever's going on in the culture, we're going to adopt and bring it into the church. That's what they're doing. Let's not be that way. Let's be a group of people that is committed fully, decisively for Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things you notice about Philip right away is he doesn't keep this to himself. He realizes that Jesus is special and certain in a very special way, and he's coming to some sort of conclusion about him. 3 years later, he'll understand a lot more. But right now, he has sold that Jesus is a very special person, and people need to follow him. So what does he do? He goes and gets Nathanael. He says, you got to know who this Jesus is. You got to know all about him. Going back here to the verses, he says here, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one that the prophet Moses, the great Moses, wrote about him in the law. You read the law, this is the one they've been talking about, and also about whom the prophets wrote. You read them from all them great prophets, Elijah, Isaiah, and all the rest of them. You read that. This is the one that he was talking about. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This is the one, Nathanael. He comes and invites him to take in this information. How quickly are we to share this with anybody anymore? A lot of people, after they first become Christians, they'll be a little realistic, but in time, they just sort of fall into the day-to-day routine. Got to go to work, got to go to the movies, got to go party somewhere, got to go do this, got to go on vacation. It's just whatever it is. We just get back to normal, everyday life, and we don't tell anybody about Jesus. We can go a whole week, can't we? Many of us, if we're honest, we went this whole week without telling anybody that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the one Moses and the prophets talked about. Let's be honest. Most of us can go the whole week. Now, if you knew the world was ending next week, how many people would you tell this week? You know, Jesus could come any moment, and we're not sharing our faith very much. Now, I'm not putting you down, I'm not putting me down. I'm just saying that's the way it is. That's what happens. People get into certain things, and other things consume them. Find a way, pray about it every day. Who can I talk to about Jesus of Nazareth? Now, we happen to live in a great country, and almost everybody knows who Jesus is in the United States. They use his name a lot in vain, so they at least know his name. So you don't have as much of a connection to have to make because people are familiar with who he is. But you go into some cultures, some countries, they don't know who he is. Their country doesn't allow anybody to hear about it. Some missionaries get out there and risk their lives sharing this. Let's make sure we do our part. Now, here we got Philip showing us how it's done. You find out who Jesus is, what do? Go tell somebody. And as soon as he picked out a man, he knew a little bit about and went and told him. So, as we move on here, let's take a look at Nathanael. Picking up in about verse 46. Told Jesus, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here's a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I tell you, while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you, then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Notice there, he was a skeptic. Do you have any friends that are skeptics when it comes to God and Christianity? I know I do. Every job I've ever worked at, there's been somebody that doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. They're afraid that they may have to go to church, or they're afraid they may have to read their Bible. They're afraid they may have to pray more. They're afraid they may have to give something to the Lord. They're skeptical of this. They like anything else but. And we've slammed education systems pretty good over the last few years because it seems like professors at these major colleges and stuff, they don't believe in Jesus, so they're going to teach that Christianity is a waste of time. It's a myth, mystical, whatever. That's where they're going to teach. They're going to tell you that man one time needed multiple gods, and then we moved to one God. Now we don't need God because mankind controls himself. So this is where they're headed out there. We've got to tell people, these skeptics, we've got to let them know who Jesus is. The sad part is that there are some Christians who wear the name, but they're also skeptical. They question the Bible. They question whether the miracles are real or not. They question whether or not faith is real. They rather not prayer is real. They question it. You're going to deal with skeptics wherever you go, but don't you be a skeptic. Nathanael at first was a skeptic. So Jesus had to stun him a little bit. In verses 47, 48, he tells him, I saw you when you were under the tree before Philip ever came and got you. How did you know it was under the fig tree? I mean, he's stunned. Verse 49, he says here, when he realizes who Jesus is, he says, Rabbi, teacher, that is, you are the Son of God and you are the King of Israel. I call that True Confession. Anybody remember that magazine, True Confession? I just remember the title, never read it, okay? All right, so, True Confession. He is stunned. All it took was, I know who you are. You're the guy that was under that fig tree. Just that enough of a revelation with what Philip had said, he put two and two together and he made this absolute stunning confession that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. This is tremendous. This is awesome. I've often said many times, if you fully understood that Jesus is the Son of God, if you fully understood that, there would be nothing holding you or me back from carrying out the work of Christ. If we understood all the impact that Jesus is, in fact, God in the flesh, came here and died for our sins, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, if we fully understood that, they couldn't hold us back from telling people about Jesus. There would be people lining up saying, what can I do to help advance the cause of Christ? Where do you need me to work in the body of Christ? Where do you need me in the church? What do you need me to do? If you really fully believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who died for you, you could not be held back from doing his work. The problem is we don't fully believe it to that extent. We acknowledge it mentally, but we don't acknowledge it with the rest of our being. You remember, even the demons know that Jesus is the Son of God, and they shudder. They believe. We need to make sure we do more than just believe. We commit ourselves fully to Jesus. Nathanael realized who he was. Now, God then blesses him, or Jesus then blesses him with a very special statement. Look at verses 50 to 51. Jesus says, you believe just simply because I told you you were hanging out under the fig tree. Guess what? You're going to see greater things than that. you're going to see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. One of the interesting things about this verse 51, when it says here, he then added, I tell you the truth, you, there you see it. In the NIV, you have a little footnote at the bottom, and it tells you that is not a singular you. That is not reserved just for Nathaniel. That you is reserved for every disciple of Jesus Christ. You will see these things. You think this is fantastic here? Guess what you're going to get to see? I call this greater vision. Does anybody remember a singing group called Greater Vision from Bible college days? Greater vision. Right now I see with my eyes and I take it all in with my heart and everything, but there's a day when the clouds will roll back and I'll see the angels on high and I'll see the Son of Man coming to receive me to take me home, and He'll bring me up there. And I'll hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll get to see greater things than what I'm allowed to see now. And I get to see some wonderful things. I've got to see Christians who really fully committed to Jesus, stepping up to the plate, committing themselves, giving of their tithes and offerings, and pouring themselves in prayer before God, assembling as often as they possibly can, sharing their faith. I've gotten to see a lot of that over the years. But I'll get to see greater things than that. Nathaniel, Philip, both of them answered the call of Jesus. One jumped right up off the bat and went and got a friend. The other one said, I ain't too sure about this Nazareth stuff. There's nothing good come out of Nazareth. But once he encountered Jesus, and he then understood who Jesus actually is, he then committed his life to Jesus as well. How about you and me? Where do we stand when it comes to Jesus? Are we one that jumps up and follows right off the bat and goes get somebody else? Are we a little skeptical, but once we realize who He is, we commit fully and make the statement? Are we like either one of these two? Maybe we're like one of the four last week that just jumped up and left all that they owned, all that they had as far as family, and followed. Where do you stand in the call? If you listen real carefully, you can hear the Master. He's calling you today. If you listen real carefully as you read the Word of God, you can hear God saying, please, please follow my Son. He's going to lead you to heaven. You can hear God's calling you. You can hear Jesus. If you just listen, be still and shut it all out and just listen for the call of God. And when you get the call, step up fully and give the Master every ounce of your being. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say. And that is, you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. And we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. and for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.